Missing Railway Coaches. The rapid spiritual growth in Ketchin State prompted the branch office to hold the 1969 Peace on Earth International Assembly in Mietjina instead of Yangon, the usual location. To transport convention delegates from Yangon to Mietjina, more than 700 miles to the north, the branch asked Burma Railways for permission to charter 6 railway coaches. This request was highly unusual. Ketchin State was an insurgency hotspot, and movement in and out of the area was tightly controlled. Yet, to the brothers' surprise, the railway authorities readily agreed to their request. On the day that the convention train was scheduled to arrive in Mietjina, Morris Raj and a group of brothers went to the railway station to welcome the delegates. Morris relates, "While we were waiting, the station master rushed up and told us that a telegram had just arrived, stating that the authorities had unhooked the 6 coaches carrying our delegates, leaving them stranded between Mandalay and Mietjina. Apparently, the train could not pull the extra coaches uphill." What could we do? Our first thought was to reschedule the convention, but that would mean applying for another set of permits, which would take weeks. Just as we were praying fervently to Jehovah, the train pulled into the station. We could not believe our eyes. All 6 coaches were filled with our brothers. They were smiling and waving. When we asked what had happened, one of them explained, "They did disconnect 6 coaches, but not our 6. The Mietjina Convention was an outstanding success. During the program, 3 new publications were released in Burmese and 5 in English. 3 years earlier, when the missionaries had been expelled, the flow of spiritual food entering Burma slowed to a trickle. Now that trickle had turned into a flood. Teaching the Nagas. 4 months after the Mietjina Convention, the branch office received a letter from a postal clerk in Kamti, a riverside town situated below lofty hills lining the northwest Burma-India border. This area is the home of the Naga people, a collection of diverse tribes who were once fearsome headhunters. In his letter, the clerk Ba Yi, a former Seventh-day Adventist, asked for spiritual help. The branch office promptly dispatched 2 special pioneers, Aung Nine and Win Pei. Win Pei relates, "At the Kamti airstrip, we were unnerved to see fierce Naga warriors standing about girded only in loincloths. Then Bai Yi rushed forward to greet us and whisked us off to meet some interested ones. Soon, we were studying with 5 people." The local authorities, however, mistook us for Baptist pastors with links to local insurgents. Despite our assurance that we were politically neutral, they ordered us to leave the area less than a month after we had arrived. 3 years later, when new officials were in place, Biak Moya, an 18-year-old pioneer, picked up where the previous pioneers had left off. Soon, Ba Yi resigned from the post office and started pioneering. Then several other pioneers arrived. This zealous group soon established a congregation in Kamti and several smaller groups in nearby villages. Biak Moya recalls, "The Naga brothers and sisters were uneducated and illiterate, but they loved God's word and were zealous preachers who skillfully used the pictures in our publications. They also memorized many scriptures and learned the kingdom songs by heart." Today, district conventions are regularly held in Kamti, with delegates attending from as far south as Homolin, a town 15 hours away by riverboat. Opposition in the Golden Triangle. Meanwhile, on the other side of the country, the work was also expanding into the highlands, bordering China, Laos, and Thailand. This is the heart of the Golden Triangle, a beautiful region of rolling hills and fertile valleys marred by opium production, insurrection, and other illegal activities. The pioneers bringing the truth to this volatile region were cautious and discreet. Yet, their preaching work was unfailingly opposed by one group, Christendom's clergy. When pioneers Robin Zauja and David Abraham arrived in Lasho, a bustling town in Shan State, the local clergy promptly denounced them as insurgents. Robin said, "We were arrested and carted off to prison, where we presented our ministerial documentation to the police." Before long, an army major walked in. "Hello, Mr. Zauja," he called out. "I see that Jehovah's Witnesses have come to Lasho." The major, an old schoolmate of mine, immediately set us free. The two pioneers set to work and soon established a sizable congregation. Then they built a kingdom hall. 2 years later, they were summoned to the local government headquarters, where more than 70 military officials, tribal leaders, and clergy had assembled. "The clergy angrily accused us of pressuring people to give up their religious traditions," recalled Robin. When the meeting chairman called for our response, I asked if I could use the Bible in my defense. He agreed. I quickly said a silent prayer and then explained the Bible's position on false religious traditions, military service, and nationalistic ceremonies. When I finished, the chairman rose and declared that Burma's law allowed all religions to worship freely. We were released and allowed to continue preaching, much to the clergy's disappointment. Later in Mongpo, a small village near the China border, an enraged mob of Baptists burned down a kingdom hall. When their vile act failed to intimidate the local witnesses, the mob burned down the home of a special pioneer and began terrorizing brothers and sisters in their homes. The brothers appealed to the area ruler, but he backed the Baptists. Finally, however, the government intervened and granted the brothers permission to build a new kingdom hall, not on the original site at the edge of the village, but right in the center of the village. Further south, in Letho, a remote mountain village in Cayin State, bordering the Golden Triangle, Gregory Cirillo encountered stiff opposition from the Catholic Church. "The village priest ordered his flock to destroy my vegetable garden," relates Gregory. "Then they gave me gifts of food, but a friend warned me that the food was poisoned. One day, the priest's henchman asked me which road I would take the following day. That day, I walked on a different road and thus avoided their efforts to ambush and kill me. When I reported these attempts on my life, the authorities sternly ordered the priest and his followers to leave me alone. Jehovah protected me from those hunting for my soul." Psalm 35:4.